QD mounts and using one scope on two rifles. This week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday, our question comes from Patreon, from Jeremy. And Jeremy asks, what are your thoughts on quick detach scope mounts, and do you have any recommended methods for maintaining the dope across multiple rifles? Well, Jeremy, that's a great question. We have talked about QD mounts before. We actually did a review of a great QD scope mount, the Bobro Engineering Precision Rifle Mount, and we'll leave a link to that down in the comments section down below or down in the description. Now, using one scope between several rifles may be just one of those things of necessity. Guys may set up a rifle, get it all dialed in the way they want, and come up with another rifle that they're building either for another purpose or another type of competition, or you have a .22 trainer and you just don't have the budget yet to put another piece of good glass on it. With precision rifle scopes running upwards of $1,000 very easily, I can definitely see why a guy would want to use one scope on several different rifles. Now, there are benefits to it, mainly cost. There are drawbacks to it, and mainly that is the added wear and tear on the adjustments on the scope, and also just the record keeping, keeping track of what your dope is on each different rifle. And if you change something on one while it's mounted on one rifle, that may change something while it's mounted on another rifle. So first, let's talk about the mounts. Now, generally, when guys want to use a scope on multiple rifles, a QD scope mount is instantly what they think about. QD scope mounts are beneficial because if you're at the range, you don't have to have extra tools, you don't have to have any of this nonsense. You can shoot one rifle and then just pop the mount off, drop the scope onto another rifle, and set your dope and go. So that can be beneficial, but it really is not necessary. Scope mounts have gotten to the point where they are built with such a high degree of precision, again, if we are using a quality scope mount, that you can actually use a crossbolt type scope mount and you can torque it back to spec on the rifle and have a very repeatable return to zero. Now, obviously, there are a lot of factors built into this, the torque tool that you're using to attach the scope, your method of attaching the scope, and also the rail that you are actually attaching it to. If you start getting grit and dirt and things in there, or your rail is not the greatest, then you can have some drift from that zero every time you attach the scope. So that is something that you will have to test on your own to see if your setup is going to work and how repeatable your zero is back and forth between the two rifles. But you'll generally find that you are very, very close to that zero and it may only be a click or two off. So best practices when we swap scopes back and forth. First of all, if you are using a non-QD setup, then you need to use a good torque tool to set it up. I generally like the Borka tools. Borka tools are very compact. They're very easy to carry, very easy to deploy and use in the field, and they are very high precision. Another great option are fix-it sticks. Fix-it sticks, again, have a torque limiter type design, so they're just little cartridges that you snap on that will limit the torque that you're applying to it. With Borka tools, they also make a torque limiter type design, so it's just really one tool, one socket, everything that you can throw in your range bag and have just to swap back and forth. So both of those are great options. There are other options out there, automotive design tools, bicycle design tools. There are really too many to name, but the Fix-It sticks and the Borka tools are the two that I have the greatest experience with. So those are the ones that I can recommend. I definitely recommend the Borka tools. They are a little bit expensive, but they are good to go. Now, when you are using a standard mount and you're tightening it on, you need to make sure you are doing it the exact same way every single time. A lot of the higher-end scope mounts, like the Modular Driven Technologies one that I have in front of me, the crossbolts are labeled in the order that you should torque them in, so that is great. The spur mounts are the same way. They have call-outs on the actual mount itself to show you which order you need to tighten those. So you need to make sure that you are using that order every time. If you switch up the order on it, then you may have problems with retaining your zero the next time you swap the mount out. What I prefer to do is I will snug the fasteners in the order that they are called out on there, and then I will come back through another time and I will go to full torque on that last time through. Before you go through and you do that last torque, though, it is very important that you push forward on the scope and the mount when you are tightening down the screws, at least that first time while you're snugging them down. That takes up any space between the scope mount's lug and the slots in the Picatinny rail. This is really, really important because if you do not do this, then when you fire your first shot, there is the possibility for that mount to move on the rail. Now, with something like the MDT mount where you have quite a few cross bolts, unless you're shooting a really hard recoiling rig, then it may not move at all. But having it hard against that rail or hard against that slot really gives you the most repeatability when you tighten it down every single time. So make sure you do that. Now, the reason we push forward on the scope is because when you fire the rifle wants to recoil backwards. The scope, because of its mass, wants to stay in place. So pushing forward on the scope mount over a static rifle when we're tightening down just simulates what the scope is going to experience in recoil and just preloads it forward. I will still do the same thing on a QD mount when I'm tightening it down. I'll drop it on. I'll push it forward when I lock the lever down. Some mounts don't require this. The Bobro engineering mounts, they claim that's not necessary because the way the mount is designed already takes up that little bit of slack on the rail. But it's force of habit. I do it every time anyway. So I would suggest getting into that habit that way you don't forget it when it's critical. So tightening down the mounts, once you get the hang of it, it should be pretty close to zero. Even if it is not perfect, it's close enough that you will be on a shoot and see or on a sticker at 100 yards and you can fine tune it and get it right back to where it needs to be. Now, the biggest pain in the butt really is just keeping track of the scope settings when we go back and forth. Now we're going to talk about two different things. We're going to talk about the zero on the turrets and we're going to talk about the zero stop. A lot of the high-end scopes that we are talking about now or that we're seeing on precision rifles have both resettable turrets and zero stops built in. Most of the scopes that I would recommend for precision rifle competition have some implementation of resettable turrets and some implementation of zero stops. So the ability to dial the scope down and have a hard stop at or slightly below your zero. So the first thing that we want to talk about is how we're going to keep track of the zero between the different scopes, because you don't want to get into a situation where you swap the scope from one rifle to another and you have to start totally fresh, fire a bunch of rounds to get the rifle zeroed, and then when you go back, same thing, fire a bunch of rounds to get it zeroed on the other one. So record keeping is key. If you have a data book, then you're going to want to write this stuff down in the data book and make sure that you know between two rifles which data book the scope information is in. Don't forget which one it's in and then you run into a problem. Or you need to just have a data card for the scope, maybe bungee tie it or a zip tie it on the scope, or just even on your objective belt somewhere, just throw a piece of tape on here and scribble the markings on the tape in silver Sharpie or something like that so you know where it's at. You can even do a write in a rain card and then just use packing tape and stick it on there. You'll occasionally have to swap it out, but you'll occasionally probably need to change it from time to time anyway, so that's not a big deal. So first thing is to figure out which rifle is going to be the primary rifle, which one you're going to use the scope on the most, because that is probably what you're going to want to set the scope up for initially. So let's say we have this rifle here, which is our Remington 700 and 6.5 Creedmoor with the IBI barrel in the Modular Driven Technologies ACC chassis. We've got the SkyPod on the front of it, a SIG Tango 6, 3-18x44 on here, and an MDT scope mount. So that's all the basics on here. So let's say we have this rifle, and then let's say we have, for instance, our Voodoo V22 trainer, and we want to be able to swap this scope back and forth between the two. The first thing we'll do is take the rifle out and we will zero it to this rifle just like we normally would. Now, ideally, you're going to back the zero stop off first. That way you can totally forget about the zero stop and it doesn't get in the way of whichever rifle that you are going to try to zero on. So let's get this rifle set up. We get it zeroed, slip the turrets to zero. We're good to go on this rifle. Zero stops backed off. Now we will take the other rifle, the V-22, and we will set the scope on the V-22. We will torque it on just like we normally would. We're going to take it out to the range, and we're going to go ahead and shoot our zeroing exercise with that rifle. Now the difference is we are not going to slip the turrets on that rifle. We are just going to zero it. We are going to get things dialed in. Now we're going to take our book out, and we're going to write in our data book or our data card or whatever we have what the difference in zero is between the two. So now we know, like, let's say it's 0.7 up, 0.7 right. So we know that on the Voodoo it's 0.7 up, 0.7 right. So every time we take the scope off of this rifle and put it on the Voodoo, we're going to dial 0.7 up and 0.7 right. Now, if we want to, when we put the rifle on or put the scope on the Voodoo, we can slip the turrets to zero. We just remember that it's 0.7 up and 0.7 right when it's on that rifle. Set the turrets to zero, do whatever you're going to do with it. Now we come back to the shop, we're getting ready to put the scope back on the primary rifle. Now there are a couple of ways you can do this. To avoid confusion, I would suggest you reset the turret before it comes off the Voodoo to 0.7 up, 0.7 right. So it will actually read 0.7 up, 0.7 right while it's sitting on the Voodoo. Then immediately remove the scope from the Voodoo, drop it onto the primary rifle, and not resetting, just dial the turrets back to zero. So now they read zero. You dialed them. You didn't slip them. You dialed the turrets. So you actually get your clicks as you're bringing them back. That moves that crosshair back to zero for this rifle. Now, every time you go to the Voodoo, you're going to take it off of this rifle with it set to zero. You're going to set it on the Voodoo, tighten it down, torque it in place, dial to 0.7 up, dial to 0.7 right. Then if you want to, slip the turret back to zero and you're good to go. Now, every time you move the scope back and forth, you need to do the same process. Do not change it up. If you change it up, you'll lose the zero. You'll forget which one's on which and you're going to have to go back through and you're going to have to do it again. So it becomes a bit of a laborious process. Also, what you're doing is every time you're slipping those turrets, when you're going back and forth, you're adding wear and tear to the set screws in the turrets. Remember, it's generally a steel screw in an aluminum turret, so you're wearing those threads out. Also, usually these set screws bear against brass turrets inside, and you can start chewing up those brass turrets, and then they may not want to reset evenly. They may be in weird positions. It's not a good situation to get into. So what you can do in that case, if you're running something like the Tango 6 here, where you have a Christmas tree style reticle, is you can just say, all right, if I'm running this on another rifle, I'm just going to set the turrets to where they need to be zeroed for that rifle, and I'm just going to use holdovers when I'm on that rifle. If you're doing it with something like a 22, you're fine. If you need to tweak it, make it a little fine-tuned, you can do that. Just remember where you need to be at to go back to the other rifle. And it makes things completely simple. It means that the scope is always zeroed for the primary rifle. When you're running it on the secondary rifle, you look at your card, you turn the turrets, that's your starting point, you get it on that rifle, you shoot it. If you've got to tweak it, it's no big deal as long as you put it to zero before it comes back onto the primary rifle. That is really the best way to get the most longevity out of your scope. Now, if you're running something that has toolless resettable turrets, then it's less of an issue. There are quite a few scopes out there now that use toolless turrets, so you're not really causing a lot of wear and tear on the insides of the scope or on the turrets themselves when you're resetting it every time. Just know that these scopes are not designed to be reset on every single range session, so that is a little bit of wear and tear. Now let's talk about the zero stop really quick, because the zero stop can throw some problems into this setting. You're going to have to do a little bit of homework and you're going to have to see which scope is going to have the zero stop closest to the bottom. that scope will be the one that you set the zero stop up for. So let's say for the Voodoo, we end up having to go, well, let's say in our situation, let's stay with the 0.7 up, 0.7 right. Well, for 0.7 up and 0.7 right for the Voodoo, then we'll want to set the zero stop for the primary rifle. So I would normally set it for 0.5 to 1 full mil below zero. So we'll set that up for this rifle. Then when we drop the scope over on the Voodoo and we dial our 0.7 up, the zero stop does not interfere with things. The zero stop kind of gets a little confusing, but if you do it the wrong way, you'll know immediately because you won't be able to dial the adjustment that you need for the other rifle. So just keep that in mind. It becomes a greater problem if you're dialing zero or dialing below zero to get your adjustment for the other rifle. So it gets really confusing. Just know that you need to write everything down, or if you've got a smartphone, make a note in your smartphone. And every time you change a setting on the scope, you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to document that because you will have to remove that change when you go to the other rifle. So if you end up having to make a zero adjustment on your primary, you're going to have to log that in, and if it was an adjustment because of the system and not because of the mount or the scope itself, then that adjustment is going to have to come off when you go to the other scope or the other rifle. So it really gets confusing bouncing back and forth, but once you've done it a couple of times, it really, you'll get in the groove, you'll get in the pattern. You just have to do the same thing every single time. So I hope that wasn't too confusing. If you have any questions on it or you have a technique that works for you, please drop in the comment section down below. I love hearing how you guys tackle these kind of things and what your techniques are. I'm constantly learning from you guys as well. So I love to read your comments. Please drop them down below or you can send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. That is about it for this Mail Call Mondays. As you can see, we have put quite a few things on this rifle. I didn't go into more detail on the MDT scope mount because we actually just got it mounted up. I have not gotten it out and done a return to zero test with it yet. Hopefully we will do that very soon. I really, really like the way this mount goes on the rifle. Not just saying that because we are sponsored by MDT. Honestly, this was the easiest to get set up from any scope that I have mounted before, any scope mount that I've used before. The reason being that I have just enough left on the rail here that I could drop a bubble level on that rail. And the SIG has a level plex system in it, so it has cant indicators in the scope. So I can level out the rifle, and the MDT mount allows me to tighten the caps just on one side and leave a gap on the other, so I can still rotate the scope in the mount. So once I get dialed in and got the scope leveled out in the mount, then it was very easy just to tighten the other side down, lock the scope in. There was no tendency for it to turn like some split rings can do. So we got everything lined up here, got it dialed in, got it mounted up, no problems whatsoever. Now I've just got to take it to the range, get my zero fine-tuned, since I was swapping out a zero MOA mount for a zero MOA mount. It should be pretty close. I should be on paper at 100 yards. And then we'll pull it off and we'll do a couple of return to zero tests. I really am going to be interested to see how closely the MDT mount returns to zero. Looking at the construction of it, I have a feeling it's going to return pretty well. And we are using an MDT rail on this rifle, so the specs should be pretty close. We shouldn't run into bad tolerance stacking issues. If you guys have any questions over anything that we have set up here, please go ahead, drop it in the comment section down below, or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And until next time, get out and shoot!